Matthew chapter 11. And I'll pick up where I left off just a few weeks ago. I preached a message 2 weeks ago entitled Keeping It Easy. And then I didn't finish it all that night. And then we were gone last weekend, and so I'll try to finish that this evening. Matthew chapter 11 will begin, then just in a few moments we'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Those two places tonight will be our text verses. But in Matthew 11, verse number 28, the scripture, a very popular portion of scripture, one that many folks know and use many times during difficult times, the Bible says here, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Now watch verse number 30. Here's what Christ says about himself. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, we may not always understand those words, because at times it would seem like, Lord, your burden is anything but light. And sometimes your yoke to us seems difficult. But as we talked to discuss this morning in the Sunday school hour, the alternative is much heavier and weightier than, of course, the Lord's yoke and his burden. So I want to talk tonight about how to keep it easy, how to keep that yoke easy and that burden light. Father, thank you tonight for your great love for us. Thank you, Lord, for never leaving us nor forsaking us, even when we don't always understand where you are in our lives. And Father, I'm thankful, Lord, that you'd help us tonight also to be faithful. Thank you, Lord, for this great invitation to come on to you, all that labor and heavy laden, that you'll give us rest. Father, I'm thankful for the peace of God that rules in our life and our hearts, even when the world has gone crazy and there's insanity all around us. Dear God, I'm thankful, Lord, the peace that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, Lord, tonight, bless our services, I ask. May you use your word once again to encourage the heart of Christians, Father, to build our church, to edify the body of Christ, and to glorify you. And we'll thank you tonight for your help. This we pray in your name. Amen. We find here in verse number 28, let's do a quick review. We find in verse number 28 the invitation from Christ. He says, verse number 28, "Come unto me." The invitation is not to those who have no burden, those that have no problems. It's not to those that need not a physician. The burden is to those who labor, and those who are heavy laden. Christ tells us he did not come to save those that have no need of a physician, but he came to be a physician to those that were sick. And so Christ looks for the sinner. He looks for the down and outer. He looks for those that have been burdened and those that have labored. And he wants to give them peace. He wants to give them rest. He wants to bring salvation to all those that are in need of a Savior. We know that we have today in this world, we have a generation laboring to find rest, laboring to find peace. That's why our world today is so crazy. Because all the things that they try to find to be that peace, to give that contentment, that fails them. And so they try even harder and they pursue it. And that leaves them frustrated and angry, leaves them confused. And they turn deeper to immorality. They turn deeper to drugs. They turn deeper to fornication. And now we have a generation who's angry and full of violence and wicked imaginations, but really what they're looking for is peace, contentment. And when they preach Jesus, for whatever reason, their flesh screams out, "We don't want Jesus, we want something different." But really what they need is Jesus. We find the generation that is, there's a generation that's heavy burdened with ladens. Heavy laden with burdens. I get that right. That's my own translation there. The burdens of failure. The burdens of never being enough and falling short. The burdens of sin, the wickedness of the flesh. The generation that we live in. And listen, every generation has had its own problems. Sometimes younger folks, you'll hear, "Well, in my day, there has been no perfect day. Every day, there's been a generation that has problems to deal with." Unfortunately, in today's day and age, because of our technology, and because of what we have in the world, that there's easier access to temptation and sin. And these devices that we have left people further confused and further unfulfilled. And so we have a generation that is heavy laden, and Christ now gives them the offer. He said, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Young man, I want to tell you tonight that though God has made marriage wonderful, if you are broken, marriage won't fix your brokenness. Young lady, tonight, if you're looking for fulfillment and peace, a man will not fulfill, give you that kind of peace that only Christ can give. If you're looking tonight for some type of fulfillment and contentment, that godly peace, you won't find it in a bottle. You won't find it at the end of a joint. You won't find it in fornicating. And some folks will chase sex as they try to find that contentment and that peace, that longing. And all they find is, at the end of the day, brokenness and emptiness and feeling of being used and loneliness. When Christ says, I'll give you peace if you just come to me. See, only Christ can give the weary sinner rest. The devil says, this will give you rest. And he holds up all those temptations that we know about. And he says, this will give you rest. This will help you. But at the end of the day, it further complicates your life and leaves you frustrated and lonely and burdened and used and wasted. So there's rest in salvation. There's rest in God's will. And one day there'll be rest in God's heaven. Amen. The conditions now, the offer is, I'll give you rest. But the condition is, you've got to come to Him. He's made the offer. Christ didn't fail us in any capacity. No matter what life throws at you, Christ has never failed. And so He's made the offer. You've got to come to me. Hey, He came all the way from heaven. He left the throne of heaven, the splendor of heaven, and He put on the robes of flesh, and He became sin for you and for me that knew no sin, that we might be made His righteousness and that He might give us peace. So He came all the way from heaven, and now He says, I'm here where you're at. Come to me. Well, that's a pretty good offer. He didn't say, hey, come to my level. He didn't say, hey, come get perfect. He didn't say, hey, ascend up to heaven where I'm at. He came to where we were at. He said, listen, I'm here now where you're at. Come to me and I'll give you rest. So the condition is you must come to Christ. Leave your sin behind. I don't understand tonight, really, and I know I'm getting old enough where I'm forgetting maybe what I was as a teenager, but I don't understand sometimes tonight what the offers that Christ has made us, how folks can see that offer and know the peace that He gives and the peace that He offers, and the rest that He offers, and walk away and say, no, I'll take my sin, I'll take my flesh over the offers of what Christ has for me. So the condition is that you must come to Christ. You must take His yoke upon you. He wants you to get in the yoke with Him. He wants you to partner with Him and put on that yoke and begin to walk with Him and serve Him. You will find rest when you submit yourself to Christ. You see, going into the yoke is submission. And when you fight against God and fight against His will, there never is any rest. Oh, there's times when you're thinking, hey, I'm having a great time, because the Bible says that for a season there's pleasures in sin for a short season. And so for a while you're thinking, hey, I'm getting away with this. I know something you don't know. God has, He's forgotten about me. He's doesn't see me. I can get away with this, but only for a season. And all of a sudden, then, the pleasures of sin come crashing down. The devil is revealed for his lies and his deceit. And now in bondage and brokenness, Christ still says, come. I like that about Christ. He never says, hey, you rejected me once. You turned your back upon me. You used to sit in the church pews. You used to come and be faithful. Now you've left. Don't come to me. No, He still says, come on to me. And I'll give you rest. What a blessing. What a great God. Because His yoke now is easy and His burden is light. The yoke of bondage is bitter and cruel, but the yoke of Christ is easy and His burden is light. And He says, now learn of me because I am meek. Boy, I tell you, that sure is convicting. That Christ says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. You know, I'm not against preaching against sin. I think that one of the failures of our country is preachers failing in the pulpit to preach against sin. To nail sin against the wall, to point it out and say, preach against fornication and preach against kissing and hugging before you're married, and preach against drinking and preach against smoking and preach against all the and preach against unforgiveness and lust and being bitter and angry. And we've gotten to where we want to just preach warm and fuzzy messages and be popular and give all this self-help junk. And so we fail to sometimes in the pulpit to preach hard against sin. But I want you to know that Christ is not a hard God. He says, I'm meek. I think that sometimes we're not careful. We get the hardness down really well. The hardness against sin, but we lose the meekness that we need to bear in ourselves, in our body, that Christ, he is meek and lowly in heart. He became a servant and humbled himself for our sakes. And the Bible says, listen, if you'll just come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, he said, you'll find rest for your souls. That being said, I want you to turn over the book with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 8. How to keep it easy. The Bible says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I have to admit there are some times in the ministry, there are some times in serving God where it seems like, Lord, your burden, your yoke is not very easy and your burden is heavy right now. But watch what the Apostle Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How can we as Christians keep it easy? Sometimes we make things harder than Christ meant them to be. And by the way, if you put one foot in the church and one foot in the world, it'll always seem hard to serve God. Look at verse number 8. Here Paul talks about the ministry of the apostle. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now watch verse number 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. Here in these verses that you have probably read before, verses number 8 through 9 are popular verses that preachers often preach on. Here we find an interesting thought about keeping it easy. Then notice the apostle's testimony of labor in the yoke with Jesus Christ. As he labored for Christ, he said this, they were troubled on every side. No matter what direction they turned, they were troubled. They always were fighting against the work of the devil. And I want to remind you today that we live in his world. This world is not going to be filled with peace when the devil is the god of it. He's the author of confusion. He's the author of lies. And so he is going to do his best he can to deceive as many and take every believer and get them to backslide for a trophy of his. But Paul said, we're not in distress. He said they are perplexed, but not in despair. He said as they labored for Christ, they are persecuted, but not forsaken. They were cast down, but not destroyed. So as we labor for Christ, we find this trouble, we find this persecution, we find this, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're cast down, but we're not yet destroyed. Don't count us out. He said in their bodies they bore the marks of Jesus Christ. And though the outward man perished, here's what kept them going. Their inward man was renewed day by day. You see, when you try to carry the yoke of Christ with the outward man and bear his burden with the outward man, it becomes too heavy and becomes too hard. Because without Christ, we can do nothing. And the flesh profits us nothing. And so many folks try to live their life in the flesh. They try to serve God with the outward man, the fleshly man. But the Bible says that you can't serve him with the flesh. Without Christ, you can do nothing. So it's the inward man that yokes up with Christ. It's the inward man that bears his burden. It's the inward man that's renewed day by day. Hey, this body is going to drop and die one day anyway. It's not going to heaven anyway. So we're not here to save this body. But it's the inward man that yokes with Christ. It's the inward man that serves Christ. And it's renewed day by day. When your inward man is renewed day by day, then you agree with the words of Christ. His yoke is easy. And his burdens are light. When you renew the inward man day by day, you say, yes, Lord, amen. There is peace in serving Christ Jesus. There is peace in walking with him. And yes, Lord, your yoke is easy, and I'm blessed to bear the yoke. Yes, Lord, your burden is light, and I'm blessed to bear the burden of Christ. But the inward man must be renewed day by day. The yoke of Christ that we bear, according to Paul, as he talked about the inward man, the outward man perishing, he said this, but one day he says, but our, now watch verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. The world would say, wait a minute, Paul, you are being persecuted. You're being cast down. You're being distressed and you're being troubled. It seems like that's heavy and that's a heavy burden. It's not as hard. But Paul says this, wait a minute, but my inward man's being renewed. The man that you can't see, the man that God sees, he's being renewed day by day. And his affliction that we face is a light one. And just but for a moment. What a great blessing to realize that as the inward man's being renewed day by day, and that the afflictions that we face, they seem to the world unbearable. But for the believer with the right inward man that's being renewed day by day, the afflictions are light. And they go by so quickly. With Christ, we'll never say, will this ever end? With Christ, we can say, one day I'll see him face to face. Now, the inward man, I want you to notice this thing with the inward man, because this is what makes a difference. I believe this is where Christians sometimes fall off the wagon. This is where Christians, after they've sat in the pew and heard the preaching and the truth of God's word, can let something in the church or something in the church make them mad or get them sideways or something in the world that'll lure them away. Because the inward man is oftentimes, unfortunately, in our day and age, neglected. We get so busy, we get so sidetracked. It's amazing how these devices can all of a sudden, you pick it up and all of a sudden, an hour later, you're still on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You're still playing that game of trying to connect the dots or break the blocks or chase the snake or whatever that they do with those things. Snapchat becomes more than just a moment. Marco Polo becomes all day long. We not only have that, but we're so geared to TV and entertainment. Movies have captivated our lives. You know why movies are so popular? Because folks can escape reality for a short time. That's why these sci-fi movies are so popular. You notice that all these sci-fi movies that are popular always have a hero? They didn't get that from anywhere. The devil imitates the book. They want you to think your hero in life is Aquaman or Spider-Man or Shazam or Superman. The hero of our life is Jesus Christ. We see Spider-Man, Aquaman, and Shazam, and all those folks that are fun comic book heroes to read about. They renew the outward man, but they don't renew the inward man. You can chase the world's addictions, and they might make the outward man feel good for a while, but they'll do nothing for the inward man. And so, look, watch this now. We find in verse number 16, it says, for this cause we faint not. Here's why they don't give up. But though our outward man perish, you almost see there's a sense where Paul says, you know what, the outward man is going to perish. So his focus was not on the outward man. We're so focused again on the outward man. He says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So you notice this tonight. That first of all, the inward man must be renewed. It must be. If you're going to go through the persecutions and distresses and the trouble and all the things that they said they went through and say, you know what, it's okay. These things are okay. It's okay. God, I'm okay with you, God, that my husband has been shot. God, I'm okay with you that I've got cancer in my liver. God, I'm okay with you that for whatever reason, God, my child has a handicap or disability. God, I'm okay, God, that you took my parents. I'm okay, God, that I don't have what I want. God, I'm okay with your plan for my life. How do you do that? The inward man must be renewed. He has to be renewed. He can't be neglected. The word renewed means invigorated, strengthened. I'm watching Bill and Caleb go. I don't watch them at the gym. I just know they're going to the gym. That'd be kind of weird if I'm watching at the gym. It'd be kind of creepy. I don't want to be called creepy Joe Biden. You know, they say that he's just he doesn't mean anything by it. He's just a hugger and a kisser. That's the way he is. And sometimes a sniffer, he said. What a weirdo. I don't know. Anybody that admits it, I'm just sometimes a sniffer. And Oh, what a great party to be a part of if you're a Democrat. God bless you. I'm not sure why I brought that up. Where was I going with all that? Oh, yeah. I'm watching these yard birds go work out. I'm not seeing Bill getting any bigger or smaller. But I'm sure he is. He just wears it well. But I'm noticing Caleb's shoulders and his arms are getting a little bit bigger. In fact, he ripped out his coat last week. He's just like the Incredible Hulk, you know, just got a little bit flexy, turned green and ripped some things out. What do they do? They're strengthening the outward man, all right? Because they want to try to give me a run for my money, but I still take both of them at the same time. I'm not afraid at all. And Mikey will take care of my light work for me, won't you, Mikey? Yeah, all right. If you can beat Josh, you can beat those two. Amen. Hello. Yeah, hello. But I'm watching these guys get stronger. And that's a blessing, you know, if you're into that thing. I wouldn't mind being a little smaller, but I care about being stronger at my age. I really don't care about having big shoulders or big muscles. I don't really care. You know, nobody else cares either. I wouldn't mind having a little smaller midsection. Now, that might be a little bit happier of a day. But, you know, we can pay attention all day long to the outward man, but you got to strengthen the inward man as well. He must be renewed day by day. He must be. Number two, watch this. The inward man must not only be renewed, but he must be renewed daily. Every word in the Bible is there for a reason. The Lord didn't inspire this, the book. He inspired the words of the book. So we have to come to a place where we pay attention to the book, pay attention to the words. He says, for our light affliction, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. So if you look at him, you're like, wait a minute, so here's an oxymoron. I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, that guy is about done. He looks like he's wiped out. His body is perishing. But Paul said, I feel fine, man. I feel great. Wait a minute, Paul, you walk with a limp. When you read, you squint. On your body, there's marks of you being stoned. On your body, there's marks of you being shipwrecked. You don't stand up straight anymore. You're kind of hunched over. Your hair line's receded. And you're not as young as you used to be and as strong as you used to be. But he said, on the inside, my inward man, it's still strong as ever. Why? Because his inward man is being renewed, but it was renewed daily. Daily. And so I want to encourage you. Listen, if all you get is renewed is Sundays and Wednesdays, you are a weak Christian. I cannot renew your inward man. In fact, I don't know. Sometimes everybody always listens. I mean, I'm not trying to be unkind, but sometimes I'm preaching, it looks like it goes in one ear and out the other over your heads, or like I'm some preacher, I'm here, but I'm somewhere else. And I get that. I used to be a church. I sat in the pew, and I understand that. And sometimes, boy, sometimes we plug in, and we're like, man, today's a great day. And sometimes, as a church member, all I heard was, rah, 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 rah. I'm like, what? Man, I've heard that message before, Pastor Mace. When are you going to be done? And by the way, Pastor Mace, tell us that interesting story. Pastor Mace never told stories. And if he did, they weren't very interesting. You know, it's like, I don't get what the connection to that is, you know. And so I understand being a church member, but at times we've got to plug in and renew our inward man daily. It must be renewed. You must have a time where you plug yourself into the Spirit of God and say, God, here I am as I read the book. Help me, God, as I pray, help me. Renew my inward man. Strengthen me, God. I remember growing up, I don't know, this new movie that came out, Shazam, was supposed to be the big cat's meow. I remember watching that as a kid after school. It was a half-hour show. And I always felt kind of weird about watching because he always talked to those gods. There was three or four gods he talked to, you know. They would take him off and he'd kind of be transported somewhere. But, you know, all he had to do was say, Shazam. And he would get all these superpowers, you know. I mean, you know how many times as a kid in my backyard, I screamed, Shazam. Can I fly now? You know, Shazam! Shazam, try it again. Maybe I got to say it louder. I got to say it maybe in Spanish, you know. Say it backwards. But I try, Shazam! I still can't fly. But you just can't, listen, that's not as easy as, you can't do that with the being renewed in your inward man. You just can't holler out to some weird name, you know. Jesus! All of a sudden, now you're renewed. No, you got to get in the book. You got to get on your knees in prayer. You know, listen, I'm going to tell you something. We can knock on doors until our knuckles fall off. If we're not in the book and praying, we're not doing anything but serving our flesh. I'm all for knocking on doors, and I think that we as a church ought to get burdened about knocking on doors again. Again, I know that we have our excuses and our reasons, and I've not been a very good leader in some of those areas in the past few years. And I know that things pop up, and we don't always put a priority on that. But if we just knock on doors and don't get God involved in it, we're doing it in the flesh, we've got to renew our inward man. That takes getting in the book and praying. And by the way, when you get in the book and pray, you're going to want to tell folks about Jesus. You can't keep it in. So he must be renewed. Our inward man must be renewed day by day. Every day. That means Monday. And Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Sometimes we get sideways and we want to blame people around us, but the fact of the matter is, we just didn't take care of the inward man. We've all of a sudden, because we neglect the inward man, we've made his yoke hard and his burden heavy. Lastly is this, the inward man must be the recipient of the daily renewing. Now, if you look at the verbiage of verse number 16, it says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is not doing the action here. He's receiving the action. It's passive. So your inward man can't renew itself. It must receive the renewing. That's why we read the book. That's why we pray. Because the inward man is not doing the acting, it's opening himself up for the receiving. He's being renewed. Who's doing the renewing? God is doing the renewing. And so when we neglect God, we neglect His Word, your inward man can shout Shazam all day long. It's not going to get renewed. You can put a cape on and run to every phone book you want to and come out dressed like a super Christian. He won't be renewed unless God is doing the renewing. So the inward man now, he is the recipient of it. So many times we try to do things in our own way, in our own labors, and we come out, I'm as weak as before. Because we must get God to renew us. The inward man he's not doing the renewing, he's receiving the renewing. The inward man must be renewed by faith, first of all. Verse number 13 says, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, there have I spoken, and who ye also believe in, therefore speak. The inward man is renewed by faith. Faith does the renewing. Paul says, listen, we have the same spirit of faith according as it's written. So he's using faith and the Word of God together. He said, it's written and we believe. We have the same faith. So as he is now serving God. And by the way, you think that it was any more exciting back in those days than it is today? That somehow that, you know, all churches, doesn't church, church has been church for years. They didn't have, do you think in Paul's day they had drama programs and television screens and rock music and drums and entertainment? They were entertaining Christians. We were having church. Amen. Doing the same thing that we've been doing. But nothing's changed over the years except for more to the left probably. Well, I think that if these guys came to our church, I really believe they would feel in place for the most part. They'd find some folks, but you know, hey, Paul said, listen, I absolutely fall asleep on me too. They fall out the window. You know? So thank God you're not sitting in the window this evening. Paul said to me, why do you preach so short? I preach for till past midnight. Keep going, Pastor Mast. But what renews the inward man? TV won't do that. Not going to do that. Reading self-help books won't do that. You know, psyching yourself up, you know, hey, you're okay, you're beautiful, you're strong, you're a woman, and you're wonderful, you know. And I think that if you're a woman, you are wonderful. If you're a man, don't say that in the mirror, please. And those things might pump you up for a few minutes, but they can leave it crashing down at the end of the day. The inward man must renew it, first of all, by faith. Faith believes what is written. The Word of God grows our faith. Romans 10:17. So the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to renew the inward man? Renew it. Have your faith renewed. What's that? That's by the Word of God. That's you receiving, you not doing. We are so good at doing. How's that working out for us? Receive. I want you to see that. So faith believes what is written, and faith is the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. Faith is hearing the Word of God is hearing it preached as well, being where you're supposed to be. Faith believes in what is not seen. Verse number 18 says, listen, what you can see is temporal, We can't say it's eternal. How do we believe that? By faith. And so faith renews inward man. Next is the inward man is renewed by hope. Verse number 14 says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Verse number 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. We find here that not only does Paul mention his faith that renews the inward man, but he mentions his hope that renews the inward man. He says, all right, the outward man is perishing. The outward man is troubled. The outward man is distressed. The outward man is persecuted. The outward man is forsaken. But hey, we're not cast down. Hey, we're still doing okay. We're still going forward. Why? Because the inward man is renewed day by day. How, Paul? How is he renewed? By faith. Faith in God's word. We believed it. And also by hope. Listen, I know that, listen, one day as Christ raised up Jesus, he'll raise me up in that day as well. And we'll see him face to face. Our affliction here is as light, but for a moment. And it works for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. And what I can see is this temporal, but what I can't see is eternal. And that's my hope. You know, if my hope was to be the best pastor in Iowa, I'd be discouraged to the point where I'd resign and become a hermit somewhere. If my hope was to build the biggest church here in Iowa and be who's who, I would give up and become homeless. I want to see God use our church and use. I want to be a vessel that makes a difference in people's lives. But my hope is not all wrapped up in just that. My hope is in Jesus. As the choir sang this morning, my hope is Jesus. He's the one. And that's what renews the inward man. Listen, you know what sometimes discourages people and they neglect the inward man is because their hope was in everything else but Jesus. Well, my hope's in preacher. Well, hope all you want to, brother. Get in line because you're going to get discouraged. I ought not to be your hope. Well, my hope's in Brother Victor, and he's a pretty smart guy. He knows more than the preacher does. Yes, he does know more than I do. And that's why I can keep him around to help me out. But if your hope was in him, you're going to be discouraged. Look at his wife. No, I'm just kidding. That was a bad joke. That was a terrible joke. That was a terrible insult, rather, not even a joke. Man, we put our hope. No wonder people are discouraged. They put their hope in everything else but Jesus. And Paul says, you know what? His yoke is easy, and his burden is light, because my hope is in him. And they can take this body and kill it, but they can't kill me, because he'll just raise me up again. What a blessing. So the inward man is renewed by faith, the inward man is renewed by hope, and the inward man is renewed by charity. Verse number 15 says this, for all things are for your sakes. The abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Paul said, I'm doing this because I love you. You know, God used the apostles in a special way. It was a special ministry for a short time. There are no more apostles today. If you find someone that says, I'm an apostle, they're an imposter, not an apostle. God used them for just a short time for a reason, to verify his word, to get the gospel in print, to help the church as it began. So the apostles had a special ministry, and Paul said, what we do is for your sakes. We bear in our body the marks of Jesus Christ. We are persecuted. We do this for your sake, church, that you might have life through Christ Jesus. What motivated him? His love for God and his love for people. What renews the inward man? Love does. No, I'm trying to be tonight, trying to be warm and fuzzy and trying to be feely, you know, warm and feely, all that kind of stuff. But love does play a part in the Christian life. Charity is essential to the Christian life, and charity renews the inward man. Not the charity that you receive, but the charity that you give. That's what the outward man says, love me, make me important in your life. What, it's all about me, that's what the outward man says. It's me, myself, and I, and I'm important. Why don't you love me? But the inward man says, wait, I'm going to serve Christ for the sake of others because I love the Lord and I love people. And you'll be surprised how the inward man is renewed when you get a burden for others in your life. The independent Baptist preacher is a weird dude. You either love him or hate him, usually. It's hard to find half a dozen that can sit together and agree with each other and get along. I'm glad that Brother Victor and I get along well. I believe we do, unless he's faking it. And if he is, don't tell me, because I'm pretty happy of them faking it. I've just chosen I'm going to be some people's friends. Regardless of anybody says about him, whether they like him or not, I'm going to be Brother Whiting's friend, whether anybody likes it or not. They had a long talk with Brother Whiting. I just want you to know, I'm going to be your friend, Brother Whiting. I told Brother Woodward the other day, Brother Woodward, I'm your friend. Now, he's been a whole down around the block. He might have done a few things that people don't agree with. I said, Brother Woodward, I'm going to be your friend. Here's the reason why. Brother Woodward said, you know, I'm 60-some, close to 60-some years old. He's doing more for Christ than he ever has done. He says, because I get out of bed every morning, because there's a need to serve God. There's a need to serve God. So I watched my church and the younger generation come up. There's a need for me to get out of bed and keep on serving. He's been criticized by many for taking over the camp and trying to serve Brother Gomez, help Brother Gomez get the camp started. That's a weird dynamic, and I have my own opinion about that. But he's not doing it for Pastor Gomez. He's doing it to leave a place for the next generation. And he said there's a need for a place like Kite River for the next generation to hear the Word of God preached. So I'm doing it not for Gomez, I'm doing it for God. So here's a guy who's 60-some years old, working 80-plus hours a week. Most of it not getting reimbursed for anybody, you know, at all. And the world says, that's crazy. But love says that renews the inward man. I'm saying tonight is this, that when you love others for God's sake, it renews the inward man. There's a reason why we do what we do. It's because of charity. It's charity. Besides, it brings God great glory. So Christ invites you to come and get rest. And Christ gives the rest. And tonight we make it hard. We make his yoke hard and his burden heavy when we renew the outward man and neglect the inward man. I want to encourage you tonight. I don't know if there's any of this made sense. I've enjoyed preaching it. Bodily exercise profiteth little. It doesn't mean you can't do it any. It doesn't mean it profits little. All right? I'm not preaching against what Bill and Caleb doing. They're fine. But in heaven, I'm sure I'm going to be bigger in heaven than they are. I'm sure I am going to be. And I'm not saying you can't do that, but if all Bill and Caleb do is work on the shoulders and the biceps and the triceps and all that, those muscles, forget the inward man, the little men. Thank God they're renewing both. Amen? And so by the way, let me tell you something. We need some real men, by the way. Too many little men in our churches, I should say. Offended easy. Ready to quit, give up all the time. You know why you're a little man? Because you don't renew the inward man. Renew the inward man. Renew the inward man. Don't neglect him. And then with Paul, you'll say, you know what? My outward man is perishing. Boy, it has taken a licking, man. Can I say it this way? We used to say in the street, we were saying when I was a kid, it is kicking my rear. Now, that'd be not very nice to say from the pulpit, but sometimes that's how you feel. This is kicking my rear end. But the inward man, we're doing okay. So if you can renew the inward man, you'll agree with Paul. His affliction is light, but for a moment. And that's what I want to encourage you tonight. Don't neglect the inward man. I've got other verses tonight, but I think you get the point. And I want to encourage you tonight to renew the inward man day by day by day. And you'll be surprised how light his yoke is and how easy his yoke is and how light his burden is. Amen? Father, we come this evening. Thank you so much, Lord, for the book. Thank you, Lord, tonight for your help. And Father, I can't begin to explain or describe how much you helped me in my study. Lord, as I put together these scriptures and look at the points and ponder the verses, Father, how, Lord, you bring conviction to my life and help and healing. God, you've been a great God. And Father, there are times when it seems, Lord, that the path gets hard and steep. But at the end of the day, Lord, your yoke has always been easy and your burden has been light. Maybe not neglect the inward man, but it be renewed day by day. This we ask and pray. Help us, Lord. Let's all stand tonight as we stand together. The piano begins to play invitation song.